Before I read our scripture reading this morning, I want to acknowledge that Pentecost actually occurs on Shavuot, which is the festival of weeks. There are 7 weeks in between Passover and Shavuot. And in addition to being a harvest festival, Shavuot is the celebration and remembrance of receiving the Torah on the mountain. And some of our Jewish friends were up all night last night studying the Torah, chanting. So there's a common hunger for revelation and honoring of revelation that Pentecost happens on. And I'm going to, before I read our scripture reading, I'm going to read a prayer that I'm adapting from Rabbi Yael Levy, who Amy knows very well, at Mishkan Shalom. So let us hear this as a prayer, and let us hear this as our hunger for revelation. And we knew the one inside the many, the one beyond anything that can be known, and we trembled in awe. We step back from the mountain, we turn from the fire, and we listen to the one reverberate in our hearts. And we heard lightning, and we saw thunder. And in the silence, we heard the mystery call. So from our Christian scriptures, from the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered there and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the many parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's power of deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing among the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what is spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men and women shall see visions, and your old men and women, and all shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Holy wisdom, holy word. So this year, as I read that text, I could not help but read it. We often enact all these different languages being spoken in our service. And this year, I felt, when I read it, not so much the different actual languages, but the different voices that are crying out to be heard, that even when they're in our own language, we don't listen and we don't understand. We are so divided. And I feel privileged at Artwell and privileged for this church and the birthing of it, and like Katie said, all who the many who have helped in the process. I feel privileged that while all these voices are clamoring, that I feel privileged at least to have a place in our city to be listening to voices that often go unheard. So Artwell has created a lot of curricula at the intersection of social justice, creative youth development, healing-centered, trauma-responsive, and creative youth development, project-based learning, and we train teaching artists in our processes, and they go usually with different disciplines, like a poet and a visual artist, or a drummer and a poet, and they go into classrooms, usually about 50 a year. We're in 50 classrooms, sometimes right in the middle of the school day, sometimes in out-of-school time. And our intention is to ignite the arts, but also the dreams, and listen to whatever voices want to be heard. So the first thing that needs to happen in that process is creating a sanctuary. I remember a few years ago, there was an expose about the Philadelphia School District, and there was a big headline that said, "Philadelphia schools are no sanctuary for our students." At Artwell, from our beginning, we've been helping students write poems and listen and how to find sanctuary within themselves, in their lives, and how to create sanctuary with each other. Just this week, we're disturbed once again. Hopefully, we're disturbed that there have been two more shootings since Parkland High School in February, when youth said never again. There's been 10 shootings, which doesn't even account for the many kinds of shootings and violence that happens, that's often even more named and goes unheard, that our students in our city face, where our students in Philadelphia experience a disproportionate amount of what's called ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, that include lots of kinds of violence, that include being in schools that are radically underfunded, undervalued. I cannot stop thinking about a study that NASA did, actually in 1968. So did you know that NASA not only studies outer space, but inner space? So NASA created a study so they could, on creativity, to test creativity so they could choose intelligent and creative engineers and scientists. And then they were doing this study with adults, and it was working so well, they decided, why don't we test this with young people? So they partnered with a Head Start, and there are 1,200 young people that they did a longitudinal study on over the course of years. So when the children in the study were 5, they tested them on creativity. So some of you might have heard me talking about this before. If you haven't, or if you haven't heard the study, let guess how many of those young people tested high on creativity. Give it a guess. 98%. 98%, they were studying divergent thinking. 98% of 5-year-olds tested as creative geniuses. Not just creative, creative geniuses. So they did the study again 5 years later when they were 10. Now how many guests tested high? 30%. 5 years later when they're 15, they studied, did the test again, same children, 12%. When they're 30, 2%. They studied 280,000 adults, and 2% of adults studied, compared with, contested as creative genius. So what does this say about how we're wired and created? And whose image are we created in? The image of the one who created the whole universe. There are stars that get and galaxies that continue to be born each day even. We're created with that amazing capacity. And can you imagine if we, instead of dumbing down and out our creativity, nurtured creativity in our young people, What difference would that make for everything? Around our tables, around our boardrooms, or when we're trying to solve what seem like intractable problems, if we had all of our creativity to bring to the things that we're facing now, imagine what that would be like. Imagine the tongues of flames. Flames up here are our Pentecost flames, and also hanging in between them are the values, Artwell's core values, that amazingly were the same values that were in the first grant proposal I ever wrote. But in the last couple years, we actually went through a deep process over several years where we engaged students along with our teaching artists, board members, and staff. We started out by doing a lot of anti-oppression training and then moved it into a deep listening process. And these are the values that are energies, really, that are infused into our work and into our classrooms. Imagination and expecting that our students have brilliance that they want to come forth with. Love. Loving all students. Asking not why they behave like they do, if it's problematic, but what happened to them. And being in a healing-centered space, knowing that the arts, as Sandy Bloom, a trauma expert, proclaims, the arts are the bridge across the black hole of trauma. And that when we create community together and a safe space, when we tap our deepest resources spiritually, what's deepest within us and in our communities, and when we hold social justice, and that the racism and poverty and inequities that our students experience do not have to be the last words, and in fact, they are wired often with solutions that just need to be nurtured. So what does this look like? So we work in classrooms K through 12, and we've aligned our work with, there's core needs. So in elementary school, one of the core needs of elementary school students is reading by fourth grade. There's a great, as we all know, probably most of you all know, there's a great disproportionate number of students in our Philadelphia schools who cannot read. At grade level, by third or fourth grade. And we also have learned that they actually are planning prisons right now, based on the demographics of how many children in neighborhoods can read by fourth grade. So how much does it take to bring students up to grade level? We, a few years ago, realized that our students couldn't write poetry because they couldn't read. So since then, we got tutors for that group, and then since then, we've expanded it to the whole third grade at Rhodes Elementary, a school in the Mill Creek section here in West Philadelphia. And we have tutors that come in a couple times a week, and for a few months, within a few months' time, students come up to grade level in reading. The cost of engaging those volunteers compared to the cost to our culture of preparing them for a life where they are dropping out of school and frustrated, where many end up in prison. It's outrageous. And on the other hand, when they can read, they can write poetry, and they get excited about their one student who was particularly frustrated, couldn't read, and Kathy Cohen said she'll never forget the day he just jumped up and down, "I can read!" And then he started coming early to sessions and being the teacher's assistant. Students at the school write amazing poetry, including the lines, "I can be anything, I can be me." And there's a beautiful exhibit at the Widmere Art Museum of their work right now. In middle school, one of the needs, the core needs of students is dropping out. They often drop out of school, drop out of being at the libraries, drop out of life, kind of. So we have our core program for middle school students is a rites of passage and leadership development. So they inquire into who the adult they aspire to become. They experience rituals and art forms based on, inspired by rites of passage from different places in the world, and they create their own celebration, and then they go into visioning their who they are in their community and what world do they want to live in. So they envision, what do I want my community to be like 20 years from now? And then they dial it back and they choose a problem in their community that they want to address and a creative action. And it's totally student-led, so one classroom said they wanted to end racism in their neighborhood, and they create a mural with their profiles and poems. A group of students who are aging out of foster care had never had a place, so they wanted a room of their own. They designed a room and got their school to even pay for it on the third try. And recently, we've been working for the last 4 years with Camp Sojourner, named after Sojourner Truth. And it's a girl, they have a girls' leadership camp. And this year, inspired by the exhibit that was in City Hall that the artist Wendy Ewald did in conjunction with Al Bustan, Seeds of Culture, they did an immigrant alphabet. So these girls at Camp Sojourner, not all, by the way, who identify as girls, some are have a lot of different gender identities, but they created a gendertopia alphabet as their creative action. It includes love, it includes beautiful, it includes contagious. Don't contagious me with your negative energy. Done discrim, don't discriminate. No excuses, love, graduation. We can all graduate from college. Imagination, I'll leave a copy. It goes on, but it's really incredible. In high school, often our students are really especially interested about honing the power of their voice and telling their stories. And we do a lot of spoken word, in particular in high school. This year, we're happy that we also got a gender justice grant to do a student LGBTQ affinity group at Parkway West High School at their request. And we also have united our Youth Leadership Council with Artwell students with Norris Square Neighborhood Project. And in getting ready for this union, the facilitators asked their students to reflect on legacy and what do they want their legacy to be. And they got to unite with these other students. It was really seamless. The students got together and decided they wanted to learn facilitation skills, artistic skills. They wanted to do research. They wanted to learn leadership styles. And they've totally taken over the leadership. They renamed themselves based on their vision and who they think they are. So they are now called the Limitless Voices Youth Leadership Council. Oftentimes, I think in the church, we hear the Pentecost story and think of it as being about the birthday of the church. Pentecost is about way more than the church. In the prophet Joel says, all flesh. And I hope in this season and that anew, we might allow our numbness and despair about all that is so out of control burn off. I hope and pray that we will allow our creativity that we're wired for, that we will allow ourselves and commit ourselves to reclaiming it and acknowledge that even a sin might be to neglect our creative beings, our creative mind and hearts. I hope that we will create sanctuaries with all of everyone, everywhere, and listen to voices that feel difficult until we understand. Let us listen to the dreams of all young prophets of fresh healing, justice, and radical kinship and connectedness, creativity, and leadership that are wanting to be born. And let's listen also to elders, including myself and all of us who find ourselves as an elder, allowing our own minds to be changed and our hearts unchained and bring visions into radical kinship, where we know that all children are our children, where we have a vision of our children and what they need, where we decide that we will heal the will of our people and we will transform our education system. We will transform our mental health system. We will be there, we will work and pray, and open to the love and realm of God that is right possible right here on this fragile and troubled earth. And to guide us, I'm going to close with an Artwell student who in fifth grade writes, "Come along, follow me, as I lead through the darkness, as I provide just enough spark that we need to proceed, we're going to march to light. Come on, I won't steer you wrong, as I guide us through the fog, come on." There's a slideshow that we had recently put together for our Artwell Awards that we can reflect on as we sing together.